Welcome to another episode of Introductory Wine Classes for Novices. So last time we talked about how sparkling wine is made, how champagne is made, and sort of the traditional champagne method, which is goes back hundreds of years. But today we're going to talk about how to enjoy sparkling wine, how to open a bottle properly, and how to taste it, and so forth. First, you have to take off the foil and case. So typically what happens is sparkling wine, champagne, comes with a foil and cage around it. And if you look at the foil, there is 99% of the time, there's a tab you can find if you look closely that you can pull that wraps around the foil and allows you to easily take it off. And once that's removed, you have a cage there and you can twist the wire on that cage to get the cage off of the cork. And once it's removed, remember that that cork is under pressure. You want to keep your hand on it because it could literally fly out. And remember, a cork flying out could easily damage someone's eye if it hits a wall and bounces and hits them in the eye. And there are cases of this. So just be careful. Try and keep your hand on the cork once the cage is removed. Now, there are a couple tricks to opening a champagne bottle. Assuming you want as little of the champagne to fly out as possible and you don't want the cork getting out of your hand. How I open is I turn the bottle to 45 degrees and I point it away from me and I point it away from anybody, all the while I have my hand over the cork. And then what I've been told is that 45 degrees helps reduce, should the cork come out and the pressure push the champagne out, it'll push less out if you keep it at that angle. I was taught that by an international flight attendant who opened quite a few bottles for a living. And so then there's a trick is, a lot of people try to turn the cork. The thing is, you can hold on to the cork and turn the bottle. A lot of people turn the cork, but it's just easier to turn the bottle. You have more grip. And again, I have my hand over the top of the cork so it can't fly out of my hand unless it's going to blow right through my hand, which would be some fearsome pressure. So needless to say, it's not going to do that. And then as the cork begins to come out, I try to hold it in place so that it doesn't come rushing out along with all the sparkling wine. And done properly, you'll hear a pop, but the cork will never have been at risk of flying out of your hand. So just, you keep your hand, you're turning the bottle, it's slowly coming out, and then when it pops out, you'll hear the traditional sort of pop, the sound of champagne cork coming out of the bottle, but it never gets out of your hand. It never had the chance of leaving your hand. Now, I will also add color in those situations where I am outside and perhaps there are little kids around. I take a completely different approach. I'll get the kids out 50, 75 feet out in front of me and I'll point it at 45 degrees again. But this time I'll begin to start pushing the cork up with my thumbs and not have my hand over the cork and see if I can let it fly in the air to make sure that, of course, no one is directly going to be hit by it. But then it's amazing how far you can shoot at a cork and you see if the kids can catch it and it's all exciting and everybody finds it very amusing. But I only do that, as I said, if there are kids or adults who want to catch corks and you're outside, right? You wouldn't want to do this inside. So that's just a secondary way you can open it. There's also a third way, which I've never done myself, which is called le sabre, which is the saber, where someone actually takes a large knife and they hit the champagne bottle where the seam of the bottle hits the top rim and they basically shear off the top of the bottle. So again, it's very dramatic, right? They're taking a knife and they're sort of slamming where the seam hits the top rim of the bottle and they're literally taking the top of the bottle off. It's very dramatic. But I don't know that it does anything. And sometimes if you go look on YouTube, you can see people who try this and they shatter the entire bottle. So I don't think it's worth the risk, but you will see people sometimes do this. Just if you're ever in the room and someone says they're going to open a bottle that way, I would just make sure I stepped back because you never know what glass under pressure is going to do, especially when you slam it with a knife or a large saber. So now you get to the point where you want to pour the sparkling wine. And although some people drink out of small white wine glasses, some people do that. There's sort of a tradition to use a sparkling wine glass, right? A champagne glass. And there are really two types. There's a traditional sort of long, slender flute you see in movies. And then also you sometimes see these half spheres on a stem, and they're called saucers, which also you see in movies every now and then, or you see in some luxury car commercials. By the way, it's claimed that the size of the saucers are based on the size of Marie Antoinette's breasts, but who knows, that's probably apocryphal, but it does add color if you ever see these saucers. It's claimed that, as I said, the saucers were made the size of Marie Antoinette's breasts. Again, probably completely apocryphal, but it makes for great color. Now, remember, part of the joy of champagne is seeing the bubbles. That's why when people buy colored champagne glasses, I don't understand, because you want it to be crystal clear so you can see those bubbles. I myself prefer the long flutes so you can see the bubbles go up for a longer distance. But people enjoy the saucers because perhaps you have a wider surface area and you see more of them sort of in a width sense, right? So I guess it's a preference thing. I've also heard some sparkling houses or wineries will actually nick the bottom of the glasses so there's more surface area of the bubbles to form on those nicks, even though you can't necessarily see them. It will allow more formation of bubbles and more bubbles to come in the champagne. Again, I'm not sure if that's true, but I'm all for anything that improves the experience, and more bubbles is just better. So once you've poured the champagne, you can now taste it like any other wine. Just make sure to enjoy those bubbles, because that's a big part of it. Now remember, a good quality sparkling wine can last multiple days in the fridge. So if you want to have a glass and put a hinge stopper in it and then throw it in the fridge, you can do so and have it the next day. You also hear some people talk about putting a spoon into the bottle to keep the champagne longer, but that is just a wives' tale. I saw some science show that said that is just completely a wives' tale of putting in a spoon into a sparkling wine will not help it keep it longer. The one way you can slow the loss of carbonation is just to chill the liquid down. But ultimately, once it's open, it's just a matter of time that the bottle is going to go flat. So don't push too far, but don't feel you have to drink an entire bottle the first day you open it, because a good quality champagne will last several days in the refrigerator. But again, you don't want to push too far, because once you lose the bubbles, you've lost the experience and it doesn't taste that great. So that's tasting champagne. Again, use all the skills that you've learned in tasting wine along with champagne, but you have that added benefit of sort of the romance of opening the bottle, the romance of the bubbles, and just the enjoyment. And just try to always remember, you don't have to save champagne for a special occasion. You can open it any day, because every day is a special occasion. All right, that's it for this particular section on tasting champagne. We'll see you next time.